Hello and welcome to Tales from the Pit, the behind the lens access for the entertainment world and the creative people involved. Today we have Dan Murphy, singer for the band All Good Things. Dan, thank you for joining us. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Good to see you again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll talk more about the band stuff in just a moment, but usually we like to get started with some sort of story of how you got started, how you, what was your influence, growing up? It's been a long day. What was your influence growing up? How did you get started with music and sort of that stuff? It's your origin story, if you will.
Yeah. I started playing guitar in fifth grade. Was when I kind of began everything. I think what inspired me was my uncle was in a band, kind of like a cover band, and they were playing at like a kind of family reunion. We called it Cam Jam. My whole family was at Campbell's, so it was Cam Jam. It was up at our cabin in Lincoln, Montana, and just watching my uncle drum. And I remember like watching, there was like a dude playing a white, I think it was like a Parker, some really random guitar, but I just remember being like, dude, the light reflecting off that guitar was just so sick. And I don't know, I just always wanted to play guitar after that moment. So begged my parents for like a cheap, shitty kind of Strat ripoff. And I got a guitar in fifth grade and started playing and started my first bands. And, I never thought I'd be a singer. Honestly, that wasn't really what I wanted to do in the beginning, but, just kind of fell into it over the years. And here I am, man, not playing guitar, just singing in a couple bands. So it's been good. It's been a lot of fun. And lots of bands over the years.
Did you have like any musical training or anything growing up, or did you just do it all by ear and just kind of listen to it?
Man, I had this funny old like CD-ROM like Windows thing. It was called eMedia Guitar Method. I think I did like the first one or two, and that was about it, man. I went to college for a year, and I tried kind of some of the music programs, and like, it just kind of helped me learn how to record and everything, but I was never taught a whole lot of theory and a whole lot of stuff. I kind of learned everything by ear, which is awesome. But, now it's been funny over the last few years. I've just been going down YouTube wormholes and trying to reteach myself stuff that I never really learned, which has been awesome. So, always regret not learning, piano before everything. It's been awesome, man. Me and Miles are kind of the two in the band that kind of grew up playing everything by ear. Everyone else is super, classically trained and know the ins and outs of everything. So theory and all that, but it's kind of fun that way. We kind of butt heads and kind of come up with creative weird shit together. It's been good.
What was your like influences back then? Who was your go-to guitar guy or band or anything like that?
Man, it's funny. So like I started as just such a classic rock fan, and my favorite band as a kid was Aerosmith. I love the Black Crows, and I love Zeppelin and AC/DC. And I was just like super into classic rock because my brother and my uncle, even like blues and stuff. And then when I first got that guitar, my buddy who was playing with me, he was like, dude, you gotta listen to Limp Bizkit. And that was kind of like the beginning of me diving into the harder rock world. And to be honest, man, like one of my first favorite records was that Animosity Seven Dust record that I just like worshiped those like guitar parts and all like the melodic vocals and the choruses. It was like one of my favorite records. So we just came off that tour with Seven Dust last month, and it was absolutely unreal to like see them play that record, 20 years later, and every night, man, it was the coolest thing. So, fell into the kind of hard rock stuff for a while, and wrote a lot of different genres. This whole project started as like a licensing kind of library music kind of weird start. It's like a very back to front thing. We've been writing together a lot of different genres, and like all the hard rock stuff just kind of snowballed because I think that's what we're all most comfortable doing. And here we are, man, like a licensing project turned into a touring band, which has been always the goal, but it's just finally kind of connecting the dots, and it's coming together this last year, so it's been great.
Yeah, so I was reading up on your stuff, and it's your path is not a traditional path in that sense, right? It's very usually a band goes out and they tour and maybe start breaking in, maybe start getting some radio play. Where you guys are backwards from that, right?
Yeah, man. And I was doing like we were all doing the other projects at the same time while we were doing All Good Things, and this was just getting uploaded to YouTube and Spotify without me even knowing it. Honestly, I didn't even know they had a band name. Andrew and Liz just were uploading it as All Good Things, or Extreme Music, who does our licensing. Maybe they're the ones uploading it. But honestly, we didn't even like think about looking at numbers of plays or anything, after a couple of years, I went on YouTube, Liz and I were like, dude, there's like 10 million views on one of the videos, and Spotify had a ton on this, fight and get up where like our we call them our twins. They were like the first two songs that kind of started doing stuff for us. So yeah, man, just very lucky. You know, we've all like done so many different projects where we've done the DIY touring and sleeping in vans and trailers and floors and playing, you know, crappy bar gigs for our whole lives. So we're just very grateful to be kind of thrown in the mix now. And like, it was very hard, like, you know, as a band that hadn't toured and didn't really have that on our resume. Like, it was hard to really get an agent and get a label and management. And, you know, just after all this time, we've been able to connect the dots. And that's why we're just so grateful to be able to do like Seven Dust tours and POD and Star Set. It's just been cool to see it finally happening. You know, it's been a long time.
And those are really, really good bands to tour with too.
Oh yeah, dude.
Very talented and really great guys.
Yeah, I was just texting our guitarist Miles earlier, right before this, and I was just like, dude, can you believe that all these were within a year of each other? It just feels like it's been, you know, a few years of like being on the road and playing, but we really only, this band, because of the pandemic, was only able to start touring in August. So it's been a crazy whirlwind of a year, man. But yeah, it's been a blast.
So, you know, I'm a little embarrassed to admit this, but when I saw you guys, so for those watching, you guys just did your last run with Seven Dust and Plush, and I was actually there to shoot Plush because I'm family friends with Bella's family, her father, and stuff like that. So nice, I was there, man, to actually shoot them, and I didn't pay attention to the bands that were playing because I was only focused on them. I knew Seven Dust was the big band, and they were doing the anniversary, so I really wasn't paying attention. And you guys were playing, and I was taking photos, and it just never clicked on me who you were the whole time I'm playing. I'm like, man, I recognize these songs. And you guys closed with Glory. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even realize it was you guys. Cause I have that album. I have the new album.
Oh, sweet.
Clicked on me until after I was talking with you after the show. And I was like, man, I feel like such an idiot.
No worries. I mean, you're one of many. I feel like every night it's kind of like that thing where people, you know, started to hear Comeback now a little bit now that went to radio. But yeah, generally, you know, especially the first tour of POD, it was like, no one knew who the hell we were until we'd play that last song and you'd see everyone like look at each other and start talking and be like, dude, you know this band. And then you kind of start getting people freaking out, which is like, man, it took you until the last song. You had to recognize one. Like, it's kind of frustrating. I'm like, dude, let's just open with that for from now on. Just so everyone's like, oh, I know this band. Now we can like we can actually sing along to shit. So I don't know. It's been fun. It's been, you know, amazing that even people recognize one song though, to be honest. Like that was our first ever number one. And it's just still crazy that we even got that opportunity and like had a number one. It's completely insane, dude. But yeah, it's don't feel bad. You're not the only one. There's a whole lot of them. But yeah, man, that tour is great. And speaking of Plush, man, those girls were ripped. That was so fun to like tour with them, watch them every night. And you know, they had like a lot of hype going into that tour and just, you know, lived up to everything and just, and more. It was awesome. And just such like a positive vibe on the entire run. And just, it was awesome. Yeah. Best tour ever, man.
Yeah. I will say, yeah, all bands on that show were phenomenal. I mean, you guys, once I realized what was going on, you guys sounded great, but you also looked great. You have great stage. You have awesome lighting. Your lighting setup was really killer and everything.
Thanks. I mean, we were very limited on space. You know, we got we're in a Sprinter with eight people and no trailer. So the fact that we can even have any sort of light show is kind of like amazing to me. Like we definitely have to like pick and choose what we bring, but thanks, man. Yeah, I'm really happy with the way the lights have been, and it just kind of adds a little bit more to the show. And yeah, it's kind of awesome to see what we can fit in one little Sprinter and like eight people. It's been crazy.
So let's talk about that when you guys are on the road. I mean, I want to back up and talk about some other stuff too, but when you're in a Sprinter is basically a long van type of thing, right? Or explain what a Sprinter is.
Big old badass van with like a storage compartment in the back that we put all the gear in, and then the front is basically full of just crap, like everyone's stuff. You just like by the end of the tour, you're just like climbing over everyone's bags and luggage, and it's just absolute chaos. But yeah, it's an awesome way to get around, man. And you know, I love not towing a trailer. Done a lot of trailer tours in the past, and I've always had trouble with like tires blowing out and ripping the fender off, and it's just like a nightmare. So it was like, you know, so many bad stories of like, you know, trailer problems in the day. So it was very awesome, man. Very stress-free. And it's nice to have a Sprinter and not, I mean, I do want to do buses, but like you're kind of able to mob around town. And, you know, locals are like, dude, go check out this spa, this park, or this brewery, or this arcade. We're like, all right, we got wheels, man. Let's go. So it's kind of fun. And I love the Sprinter thing. It's been good.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've heard so many stories. I had Joe Hottinger of Hailstorm on here, and they had on their, I think their very first tour or something like that, they had a RV and the thing died in the middle of the night over a holiday weekend, and they had to get dropped off at some weird like gas station in the middle of nowhere, and it's like we're like, I don't think we're gonna get out of here alive type of thing. Yeah, everyone's got those crazy stories.
I've got way too many of those weird stories, man. Yeah. Like paying random people at a gas station to try to fix your tires and like, so yeah, we had some weird ones. That was like kind of one of the reasons one of my old projects like fell apart. We had like the worst 48 hours of like trying to get back to LA, or trailer tires are falling off and fenders and like, you know, getting towed, and just, it was a nightmare too. We're like, yeah, we're good. We don't need a tour for a little bit. We took a little break after
that. Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine how big, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, you know, it's been so smooth for us. And, you know, it, like you said, man, I've had toured so many bands with problems. And our first tour, Sleep Signals, was like out with us, and they rolled their bus, man, like rolled it, and just all you know, pretty bad accidents too. So you just like, there's so many different ways bands kind of choose to get around. But, you know, it's just, I don't know, I feel safe in a Sprinter. It's always just kind of, it's crazy. You do a lot of traveling, man. So it's pretty amazing that we, you know, made it through all of those tour dates without any problems, and then get back to LA and almost getting like 8 accidents the second we get to LA. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The most dangerous part is being close to home. Right.
Exactly.
The, how, when it comes to your touring now, is it, do you have like additional crew members with you? Do you have techs or anything like that? Or is it just the band?
Yeah, no, we do. We've kind of slowly been adding people too. So it started with just front of house guy, and crew guy pretty much. Like the first couple of tours, we had a guy that helped us run. We run all our own monitors and mic cables every night. So all the microphones are ours. So help set up that, lights.
You got merch or something.
And yeah, actually, I ran merch with Liz. Liz and I split the first two tours, man. We didn't have room for a merch guy. And that's kind of what I grew up doing. I was always designed band merch, and kind of in my old projects, it was like, I just felt like that was my responsibility. But this last tour, we were finally able to bring a merch guy, which I can't tell you how amazing that was, just to be able to get off stage and like grab a towel, wipe the sweat off your face instead of running right to the merch booth and like trying to sell shit, digging for sizes you don't have, and the iPad's dying. And it's just like more stressful selling the damn t-shirts than it is like playing the show. So yeah, this last tour was sick, man. We had a merch guy, a new crew guy who's, you know, just awesome. Our team was sick, man. We had three people helping us out, and yeah, it just was very smooth, very nice. It was sick, man.
Nice. Let's go back to if you don't mind, go back to the sort of the beginning of All Good Things. I know you said you had other projects going on as well. I kind of want to talk about those in a moment too, but so how did it start? Because I know you said you were writing or writing songs for licensing for products, games, movies, whatever.
Yeah.
How'd you get to that point?
Honestly, Andrew and Liz are, you know, the guitarists and bassists in this band. And when I moved to LA, I was kind of like working my own projects and, you know, a couple different bands. And then, I get hired to just sing random songs, dude. I even did jingles for a while, man. I was doing it. I fell into like kind of doing like library stuff and mainly just getting hired to sing stuff that I didn't write. And I had to convince a lot of people that I could write. And, Andrew and Liz were like kind of one of the first people that took me in and like kind of showed me like the ins and outs of licensing, because I didn't really understand what it was about. I mean, you know, I've always just been doing band stuff. So it was like, wait, writing different genres, that's weird. And I don't know, it became like a really cool, refreshing way to kind of exercise different writing muscles and do different genres and just kind of get out of your comfort zone. And so yeah, in the beginning they were kind of asking me to do more pop stuff and even folky stuff, and then they were looking for a rock singer, and they asked our drummer, who wasn't even a drummer at the time, but they're like, dude, Dan's like grew up screaming, man, like he used to be in like hard rock bands like his whole life, why don't you let him sing? They're like, no dude, he's like a pop guy. It's like, no dude, let me fucking sing some hard rock. So I kind of had to like convince them that I could do it. They gave me, in the beginning there was multiple singers, man, so we had like, you know, you want every song to sound different. So it gets picked and, you know, each section gets chosen for different parts of, you know, whatever people are using it for. Right. So, it had a bunch of different singers. I only got two tracks on the first Battle Rock. We put up Battle Rock. It wasn't even called All Good Things. I didn't think it was going to be called anything really. And then the two I did ended up getting a lot of play. So that, I think I did five on the next Battle Rock too. And I think that was kind of, you know, later it was about around Battle Rock too. I was like, wait, what are you guys calling this? They're like, oh, it's just called All Good Things. We're like uploading that. And they're like online or whatever. Like, oh, all right, cool, man. It was funny because I was in a band called Bad Things at the time, which was Sean White, like the snowboarder, Sean White. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so my project from Montana, I grew up in Montana, moved to LA, and that band kind of fell apart. And I was kind of, you know, super down and auditioned to get this gig. I ended up getting the gig with Sean. So I did about, you know, 2 years or 2.5 years of a few gigs around LA and radio stuff, wrote a record. And, you know, that was called Bad Things. I didn't name that. And I was in All Good Things and Bad Things at the same time. And I was just like, what the hell's going on, man? But honestly, that was like, you know, I grew up skiing and I'm like, dude, I landed a gig with like a gold medal winning snow. I'm like, oh, this is the perfect gig for me. I can travel, I can ski and make music. Honestly, I thought that was kind of my ticket, and we had a lot of stuff going for us. But, you know, long story short, fell apart. And, you know, luckily this was kind of boiling over in the background, the All Good Things stuff. And then once we realized that we had a ton of people listening and like actually cared about what we were doing, we're like, dude, all right, let's put out Machines. And then Hope in Hell, and you know, here we are, man. So it's been nice to be able to kind of transition and like become a band, know that people are out there like wanting more and like really caring about what we're doing now, instead of like in the beginning we were just, hey, throw anything at the wall, whatever, doesn't matter. Which is kind of, there's fun in that too, but now it's kind of nice to really focus and try to write something you care about, you know.
Right. Well, yeah, and now you sort of have a look and sound that people associate with you. So you sort of, that first impression has already been made now. So now you got to kind of build off of that, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the first impression anyone ever had of us was funny because we didn't think we were a band, dude. No one wanted to see our faces or like, so we literally took a stock photo of like some gas masks and we put that as our band photo. And you know, that just, it's funny how that like turned into really our whole like aesthetic, this post-apocalyptic kind of like landscape and world we've kind of created. We found some really cool artists to collab with that did our album artwork and all the single artwork. And yeah, man, it's kind of like the fans kind of created this world with us, and it's been just super cool to kind of build on it and see where we can go. And I still feel like we're in the early stages, and there's so much more we can do live. And then, you know, as far as like bringing stuff, we won't always be in a sprint around with things, so we can probably make the live show a little crazier. And yeah, we're still baby steps. We've only been doing this touring thing, which is funny. This band's only been touring for like a year, but we've been writing together for about a decade. So yeah, it's been a while, man. It's been a crazy trip.
Right. And you guys, I mean, For the Glory, I mean, that was the big song I heard. I mean, that's, you know, I don't remember where I heard it first, probably on Octane or something like that. But I mean, that was a really, really big song as far as I could tell. I mean, it was all over the place from when and you guys got a lot of plays and video hits and all that stuff off of that song. And that was 2019, right? Or something like that?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that song we probably wrote in like 2017 even. It was like because of the pandemic and then trying to wrap the record. And, you know, that was our big song that, you know, we basically got signed off of, you know. And it's funny because that song we threw together in like, I don't know, 2 hours or something. Like that bridge, I just stepped out and I wrote the bridge in like, I don't know, 10 minutes. Didn't really think about it. Basically, like, I don't know, I think it was like hockey playoffs. So that was on my mind the whole time. And yeah, I just never thought in a million years that song would do what it did. And I'd have to like scream that bridge every single night. It's just so weird, man. And then Hollywood Undead redid that bridge. And so there's kind of two versions out there. But yeah, that song was like, it's so funny how it came together, like easier than almost any song ever. Just effortless. And then I just, yeah, never thought that it'd be like our cherry pie. We were playing that every night. And it's like one, like, oh, I know this band. So it is funny. And we always joke, we're like, I don't know, we're burnt out on it already because it's like new to everybody. But we've already been sitting on the song for like 5 years, to be totally honest with you. So we're like, let's play anything but For the Glory. You know, like one of these days, I just want to not play it at all.
Right.
Not that I hate the song, it's just one of those things, man. It's like, it's almost frustrating where you're like, what about the whole, like 40 minutes of the other shit you just watched? You're only excited until the last song. It was just funny. That's why we started throwing some covers in and having fun. We played like some Foo Fighters. We did like a Survivor cover of like Destiny's Child and just kind of having fun. I think people like, you know, when a young band and like a new band like us, they just want to get some familiarity. They want to be able to sing along to stuff they know. So yeah, the Foo Fighters thing, we busted out. We just did it in soundcheck. I didn't plan on doing it at all. And then Morgan Rose was like, dude, did you guys cover Foo Fighters the other day? Or was that like playing through the, was that just like an iPod or whatever playing? I was like, no, dude, we covered it. Just screwing around sound check. He's like, you got to do that, man. Like, So I don't know, being a huge fanboy, I was like, hell yeah, we're doing Foo Fighters tonight. Let's go.
Yeah, no kidding.
It was awesome, man. Yeah. And more, yeah. That whole tour, man, is just crazy. You keep thinking back, it's like a weird dream. You know, it just was so fast. It felt like, you know, week long, but it was about a month. So that was crazy though, man.
Yeah, and yeah.
That Newport show too was such a trip where I met you. You know, that was
in New Hampshire, right? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. It was like a wide venue. It was almost like a whole show on the right side of the stage, a whole show on the left side. And then it was crazy. And that was our second night, maybe third night. We had someone pass out, I remember, in the crowd. And like, we stopped playing like mid song because we thought, I don't know if someone like fainted or got in a fight. The night before was Long Island. And like, we had a big fight breakout and we had to stop playing that night too. And it was like, I just remember being so confused. Like, why does this keep happening to us, dude? Like, you know, like, I know we're playing hard rock and stuff, but generally like our music's kind of, you know, uplifting and kind of like, you know, empowering. It's not like,
right,
know, making people rip each other apart. So I was just more confused than anything when we stopped like 2-3 days in a row. We had people like passing out. I'm like, dude, what is happening? And the New York thing kind of got to me too, because I had some family there and this guy got like choke slammed or something, apparently, man. I was just like, it's just, yeah, people I think are really excited to be out like it shows again, but a little too excited in a couple of them. But yeah. You were there for that. I remember stopping mid song. Like, what is happening right now? It just keeps happening. But, yeah, that was a great show. One of my favorites of the tour, man. And I mean, shout out to you, man. You're an insane photographer, bro. Your stuff, sick. Like some of the, we got a lot of people taking photos, and your stuff's seriously awesome, man. So
hopefully
not the last time we'll see you at a show, dude. Just that one first fired me on Instagram. I was like, damn, that's like the coolest photo anyone's taken me. Thank you, brother.
Well, thank you very much. And I, yeah, whenever you're in the neighborhood, I will definitely be there. Absolutely. It's funny we were talking about that, because that night, I mean, you had to stop the show because, you know, obviously things were going crazy. It was, if I remember correctly, it was a little warm in there too. People have been cooped up for 2 years and they just came out and they just were, you know, shotgunning left and right. And to your, where you and I were talking after to the, I think it was stage right, I think while you were playing, I can't remember, it may have been while you were playing or before, there was a couple dudes there that were so hammered, they just flopped right on the floor, and they were big dudes, and they had to get like 4 or 5 security guys just to kind of get them off the floor. He got up, he was fine after, but man, I think he just overdid it and just, you know, heated out or something like that.
Yeah, it was definitely a drunker crowd on this tour compared to like the Starset crowd. It was while we were in Charlotte, dude, on the first night. It was sick. It was a sold out show in Charlotte. And just kind of like, you can tell when the crowd's rowdy, you know, like you can tell when they're a little tuned up. And I think it was one of those nights. And there's a bar over here, like, you know, when you're looking off stage, right? Just people all drinking at the bar on a different level and everything. And I didn't see it happen, but apparently this guy did like a 15-foot, like stumbling backwards, completely hammered, took out our fucking merch table, dude, wiped the whole thing out, spilled all of his beer on our posters, like soaked everything. And like all the display came crashing down on our merch guy, Tyler. And it was just like, oh, dude, like I wish someone filmed it so bad. It would have been one of the things. Just fuck, I wish someone caught that on camera. I missed it. I was very bummed. Someone crashed through the merch table. Like, we've had people drop their, had a lady drop her wine in our shirt bin one time. Like, you have people spilling all the time, but I've never had a guy actually like crash through like violently. Just fucking hilarious, man. I wish I could go back and get some security camera footage of that shit. But yeah, definitely a lot of wild crowds on this tour. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I I'll get back to the song in a second, but you know, being right after COVID, I mean, because I just photographed that night. Was also sold out, I think, too, as well. I think
it was cool. Yeah.
And it sold out quick too.
Yeah, yeah. We didn't really like. Yeah, I couldn't believe it was sold out. I think it was 2,200 or something like that. It was a lot of people.
Yeah, like, it was crammed in there.
And this like small beach town. It was just like the most unexpected, amazing show. That was awesome.
Yeah, that venue's a cool, it's weird, but it's a cool venue. They do a lot of good bands there.
I feel like everyone in the world has played there, like U2 to Zeppelin to, like, you know, they have it all hanging in the green room. It's like, you name it, man, they've all played there. It's a trip. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I just shot In This Moment a couple nights ago here in Portland. And that, you know, that crowd is just, it was hot. People were on fire. I mean, because a lot of these bands have been cooped up and the fans have been cooped up and people are just like, you know, I need to get out and have a good time. It's been crazy these last couple of shows.
Yeah, man. I feel like it's finally feeling normal again, you know, like, you know, the POD tour was back in August and it was kind of like, you know, a lot of people buying tickets, but like 30% of the sold tickets just wouldn't turn up because they're, you know, who knows, they're too scared of COVID or, you know, whatever happened, tested positive or didn't have the, you know, card. And it was weird, you know, it was just like kind of ramped up. And then into Star Set, that got a lot better. But then, you know, I caught COVID, had to drop off the tour for 10 days. And like, so the last one just finally felt like normal again. It was like people are going wild and shows are pretty generally pretty packed. And yeah, man, just almost feels like normal, like life again, which is, you know, amazing. It's been a long run for everyone out there, but I think a lot of artists have had to really pump the brakes and sit around and kind of wait on a lot of stuff. So it's good to feel like everyone's kind of moving ahead again.
Yeah, I'm glad you're feeling better too after that. Now, when you get, as an artist, when you get COVID and stuff like that, you guys can't do anything. I mean, you're pretty much stuck, right?
Yeah, absolute nightmare, man. Like I woke up, Star Set invites us to Thanksgiving in their hometown the night before hometown show. And in the back of my head, I'm like, what if some asshole shows up to this thing with COVID? Can you imagine how like just horrible that would be? So we show up. It's our first time really getting to know everybody and hanging out. And it was, you know, awesome time. Felt totally 100% normal. Woke up the next day. We're getting ready to pack the van. And I'm like, God, dude, I'm like kind of cold right now, but my thermostat's broken. So maybe it's just my shitty thermostat in this hotel I'm in. And then I'm like, fuck, I'm kind of hot now. I don't know what's going on. And I felt fine. I just remember being like hot and cold for a second, but otherwise completely normal. I'm like, I got to take a test just to see what the fuck's going on. And I remember just being crushed when I took that test, found out it was a positive. I had to pay for like a rapid PCR. I think it was like $300 or something to have someone come do like the real deal. Cause it's like, hey man, if I got it, we got to cancel. Like we can't obviously play. We got to send everyone home. I got to stay in a hotel forever. And just getting that result was like, just crushed me, dude. It was like the day of the hometown, like sold out show. I think it was sold out, like House of Blues. And I'm like, oh, just sitting in my room, just so bummed, dude. Like it was the worst feeling, like one of the worst feelings I ever experienced. It was, and you know, obviously costs everyone money and, you know, everyone has to rebook and travel all over. And luckily we were able to come back 10 days later. I think we missed like 7 shows, but we ended up coming back and playing like 9 or 10 to finish a tour. I was just grateful they even let us come back. You know, it was just, it's funny how you feel almost like embarrassed about like getting it. Like I was just so like, I don't know. It was just wild. It was like such a weird feeling, you know, I felt guilty, like so guilty, but I'm like, well, how the fuck would I know that? You know, I'm going to get it. And I'm the only guy on the tour that got it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I don't know. I mean, glad it didn't spread. Glad everyone's fine. It was just a very frustrating thing. And, you know, I was vaxxed. I didn't have a whole lot of symptoms too. So I think part of the problem too, is I'm sitting around like, man, I wish I could sing right now. I know I could sing right now, but I couldn't. So that was just a kind of frustrating thing. And thank God nobody got it on the last tour and everything was smooth, but that was always in the back of our minds, man. Like that could totally happen again. And on a 3-week tour, 10 days is pretty brutal if anyone had to drop off. So, yeah. You know, and also like we've got, you know, there's been times where Liz had to leave and Miles will switch from guitar to bass. So like we're able to kind of swap musicians. We've had like a fill-in drummer on this last tour and like pretty much only me or Andrew, if we got COVID, it's kind of like game over, you know, we could probably make it work, but I'm like, there's Wilder. I'm like, should I just sing in the van and hook up a video camera, dude? Like, I'm wireless anyways. Like, I'll just chill in the van. Like, we were just talking about a lot of stuff. But yeah, anyways, it's good to be hopefully over that. That was a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened to a lot. I mean, so many people, so many artists have had to reschedule. And that's kind of like the worst nightmare because the financial impact and then all this stuff where you physically are unable and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's kind of a mess right now.
Yeah.
Which kind of... You know, I was going to ask you of a comparison before and after, but you guys really didn't get much touring before COVID, right?
No, man. It was more just we got shows booked, but then canceled because everything, you know, just kind of went through. There was so many. I felt so bad for any agent, man. I was just booking and canceling and rebooking and canceling. It was just a lot of stuff. We had a couple cruise things. We were supposed to go to Europe. We a bunch of stuff getting, you know, canceled, rescheduled. So, we didn't really get a whole lot of touring in, man. Not a lot. So it's just, that's why just getting out is just so like awesome now. You know, it was weird. Like the last tours were like, you know, 2 months long and we did like 7 or 7.5 of POD. You know, I think it was about 8 weeks for Star Set with about a week and a half in the middle. So we got back right before Christmas, just like exhausted, just couldn't, just we're so happy to be back. And it was like, this tour was only 3 weeks and we all came back and we're all like bummed. And we're like, dude, we missed everybody. Like, fuck, I want to be on tour. I still want to be like, you know, waking up in random places, wandering around, exploring, you know? So it was just almost like a tease. This tour, it was like, it could have been twice as long for sure. For all of us, I think we were all like bummed to be back for the first time, which is kind of funny.
Yeah. It's very addictive. I mean, me being a musician as well, I've kind of had a little bit, you know, of a very light touring type of stuff. And it's, once you're out there, it's just so addictive and it's just wholehearted. It's two different worlds, basically, your home world and the live touring world are just so different in regards to your life, but also in your emotional involvement and everything as well. I mean,
yeah.
For me, you go out, you know, you go out on the road or whatever, and you're like, you're living a cool, exciting life where everything is new constantly. And then when you come back home, it's a very different lifestyle where you're in the same environment every day with the same situations.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's hard to adjust to that too. And like normally, like I said, I'll just sleep for like a week when I get back. I'm just so happy to be home. But this time it's been kind of like every day I've been trying to like, I've been to the beach like 3 times since I've been back, and I'm like just trying to keep it like spontaneous so I can feel like, you know, I'm not just always doing the same thing. But I'm just excited to write again too. I think it'll be good to, you know, we were a little burnt out on writing, and now that we've done a lot of traveling, it's kind of like, it's good to look forward to it again and, you know, be back and ready to get into the, you know, get the writing muscles going again. So, but yeah, man, it's been funny. Like me and Miles was texting about it. Like we're both just kind of like, it's weird to be back, man. I want to like keep shit spontaneous, like go ride my bike and just try to do different stuff every day just to kind of feel like I'm still on the road, because it didn't feel long enough this time.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Definitely. So you guys dropped an album this year, right? Was that at the beginning of all good songs?
Yeah.
You guys was that this year or last year?
Dude, All Good Songs is so funny. I hate that title. It's like the worst thing ever. That was just basically like, I don't even know who threw that together. So, took all of our like old library stuff that we kind of written, like put on different collections over the years, just lumped it all in one thing. And someone decided to call it All Good Songs, which generally I'm a dad joke pun fan, but like that one's just a little too straightforward. I'm like, oof, come on guys. But anyways, we put out, that was a long time ago. I think Machines was after that. Hope and Hell just came out in August. So that's our first, you know, full length with Better Noise, our record label.
That's the one I was meant to say.
Dude. So it's been awesome. You know, I'm just stoked to have that thing out. It was, we're all still, I think, proud of that record, and, looking forward to writing the next one, you know, just,
That album, Hope and Hell, is really, I mean, it's, I mean, it's got some killer melodic, anthem, you know, oriented choruses. I mean, it's really, really catchy, really, really cool grooves. All that stuff is, I was like, dude, when I bought that, I was like, this is a killer album. It's like in your, I will say it's, if you just want to kick ass rock music, you know, and like you guys have, if you want some kick-ass rock while you're playing Call of Duty, this is great. If you want kick-ass rock while you're in the gym, you know, grinding in the gym, this is also great. It's just got it's got a good vibe for motivation, you know.
Yeah, man, thank you for saying that. I mean, really, that's kind of what inspired the record. It was like so many people that are like gym junkies and weightlifters and gamers, and you know, all these messages of people like, dude, I got injured, and you know, you helped me through a lot of shit. And so it was kind of like those are the people you really want to reach, and like that's like the most important messages to us. And we, you know, we're just shocked we're getting that. So we're like, dude, let's just make this whole record just, you know, I don't want to say like, I jokingly want to say jock jams. Like as a kid, I was like, you'd listen to some music and it would just get you fired up and want to like go run or like, you know, kick ass. And like, we're like, let's just write a whole kind of like generic, like basically like an uplifting record. It was like basically everything on there is pretty positive lyrically. There's definitely some dark stuff too, but just a whole record to help people get through shit. We were all going through like the worst few years during that pandemic, and like these songs are written before, and it was almost like they started clicking with people more and more as like the time went on through the pandemic. And and I think we kind of accomplished that. I think a lot of people did find this record helped them through some hard shit. So I don't know if the next one's gonna be quite the same, if we switch it up a little bit or what, if that's like what we'll stick with, but yeah, I think that one turned out pretty good.
Yeah, and it's good. And you guys have I'm spacing out on The new single is.
Well, Comeback is the newest one we did with Escape the Fate or Craig, but we're trying to put out Hold On. That's going to be the next one. So, hopefully that'll come out.
Hold on, let me pull up the album. I'm just blanking. It's been a long day, so my brain is not fully working. But the Kingdom, right?
Kingdom.
That's what I meant. Yeah,
that never really. I don't know if it really went to radio. It was kind of like, honestly, when Kingdom came out, it was like the label just approved the record, and we were just like, "Oh my god, you're gonna release something!" Like, thank god. And it just pretty much went to YouTube, and we called it the first single, but. I don't think it really got the legs or the push at radio like For the Glory did. That was kind of like, we knew that was going to be the starting point for at least the radio campaign and everything. And King, I love that song. It just, to me, I never even think about it being a single because it never really got the push to come back and For the Glory did. And, maybe it's because it didn't have a collab or whatever that might be. But we're trying to put out Hold On next. I think that'll be the next single. And we just did an acoustic version of it and filmed a little video. And cool. I think we've had a recorded version of Survivor that we've been playing on tour the last year. And I think hopefully we can put them all out. We're talking about doing like an EP, you know, no one really here first, but that's hopefully the next game plan for us. And then writing the next record, man. And we've got a bunch of festival dates this summer, going on tour with Theory of a Dead Man this fall, I guess. Late summer, fall. Which actually starts in Montana, like where I was born and raised. And it starts in Missoula, like a theater I used to, you know, grow up watching shows at. So very excited to finally play in my home state. And should be a fun summer, man. Looking forward to it.
That's going to be awesome. Well, if you're ever up in the Northeast, I will definitely be there. Absolutely.
No, dude. Yeah. Hopefully we got nothing. It's funny. All of our tour dates have always been East Coast and like, it's funny, like no West Coast dates. And then finally we get this run of like, all places the band hasn't really played, like Utah and Nevada and Montana. And we're excited, but definitely love the East Coast, man. We've had so many great shows out there. I want to get back there. You know, even we played in Portland too. I didn't meet you then, but we've had some great shows up there.
Yeah, I the whole thing, I'm just bummed on the whole thing because I didn't realize any of this was going on until after you and I talked. I'm like, God, I missed all that stuff prior to this. I was like, I wasn't paying attention.
Oh, man, all good. Hey, at least you figured it out, you know.
So yeah, eventually.
I'm glad we ended with For the Glory. Maybe it wouldn't have clicked.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. I saw back in the 90s, I forget who it was. I saw a band who was kind of a one-hit wonder at that time. They opened with their big hit and then closed with their big hit as well. So they got the people fired up. I don't know if they played all the way through it or just sort of played
half and half.
Yeah, something like, I forget what it was.
We were talking about like jazz version or like a yacht rock. And then completely song, but just completely ruined the vibe just to see what people do. I just think hilarious.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. I wouldn't recommend that.
End with some yacht rock. It'd be so good.
Hey, thanks for watching part one of our interview with Dan Murphy. We hope you enjoyed it. You can check out our other guests, all our other episodes on all your favorite podcast locations and on YouTube. Search for Tales from the Pit podcast and remember to like and subscribe. And you can also check out our website at talesfromthepit.net. We'll see you next time.